Praise the Lord. How's everybody feeling? I pray that you've already enjoyed yourself in the presence of the Lord. And I'd like to take you to the Word as it was put on my heart. Thank God for the privilege to serve. If you'll open your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 3. And once we've all arrived at that location, I'd like to begin in prayer. I'm feeling good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Genesis chapter 3. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you and we praise you first and foremost for who you are. We thank you for the privilege to have your word in our possession. We thank you, God, for teaching us and for residing in us, Lord, and for not leaving us alone on the earth to fend for ourselves. Thank you, God. Teach us your ways. Illuminate our understanding. Lord, bring us to a closer relationship with you, God. Feed us, Father. Feed us in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. Show yourself strong and mighty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. A former investment broker who conned 92 residents of the southeastern Minnesota town of Hayfield out of their life savings and retirement accounts. Dale Eugene Sklitching, 49 years old, of Austin. He defrauded his clients out of a combined $1.98 million from 1999 to 2006 by selling them insurance and investment products, even though his securities and insurance licenses had been revoked, prosecutors said. Sklitching set up two shell companies and routed investment checks through them without informing the investors. He pleaded guilty last December to three counts of mail fraud and three counts of money laundering. One elderly couple who were victims of this scam artist had this to say: "We've been on a farm all our lives. We don't have anything coming, any pension. How would you feel if to wake up in the morning and you're 80 years old and find out that your nest egg and your pension were both gone?" On January 5th, 1987, two men posing as couriers for an armed car company stole $150,000 in cash and checks from the tavern on the green in Central Park. The robbery wasn't even discovered until later, an hour later, when the real couriers showed up to pick up the restaurant's money that they had made that weekend. Tonight, I want to present to you a question and the title of my message, which is, why must I know the truth? Why must I know the truth? Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Jehovah God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of any tree of the garden?" And the woman said unto the serpent, "Of the fruit of the trees in the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the trees which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." And the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die, for God knoweth that in the day you eat thereof, that your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to her eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And she gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. In today's question, if you were to go around and ask somebody, what is truth? You would come up with various answers, such as, can truth be altered? Is it complicated? Can it be misinterpreted? Is it knowable? Is it attainable? Is my truth the same as your truth, or is there even more than one truth? But the answer is simple. Even in the dictionary, it says that the truth is the quality and state of being true. And when something is true, it is accurate. It is genuine. It is the facts. And if we were to ask ourselves, well, what is the truth? What is the facts of life? That information can only come from someone who precedes life, the originator of life. Therefore, it can only come from God. He can only give us the facts of life. And between chapter 1 and 2, we read this phrase 10 different times, and God said. 10 different times we were given the facts of life from God. 10 times we hear the accuracy from God. 10 times we hear the truth spoken, and both heaven and earth heard it. But in chapter 3, something takes place that will change the course of nature until the end of the world. The health, well-being, and longevity of mankind has been placed in great danger. Prisons, hospitals, shelters, and insane asylums will now have to be built. Weapons have to be manufactured and courtrooms have to be established, because murder, adultery, fornication, robbery, betrayal, envy, lust, greed, and every despicable sin has now been invited to share the earth with mankind. And not because of the lie that was spoken, but because of our choice to agree with the lie. Therefore, tonight I want to give you 3 reasons that will answer the question of why must we know the truth? We were created to be indwelt by the truth, to live in the truth, to abide in anything other than the truth is to abide in death. The truth makes us whole, lies destroyed our health and well-being. The truth causes us to see things clearly, while the lies distort our vision and causes things to appear to be good when in actuality it is bad. The truth has the power to keep you from evil and cause you to triumph over all adversity and powers of darkness, because it is attached to God. The truth is God. While lies have the power to defeat and to destroy all who agree with them, because they disagree and go against God. Therefore, lies is the absence of God put into speech and action. This is what the problem was in Genesis chapter 3. Not that the lie was spoken, but that we chose to agree with the lie. And the abandonment of truth is the only next encounter. My first reason to answer the question of why we must know the truth is this: in order to stay in right standing with God. Verse 3, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Eve spoke the truth when the devil came and gave us something contrary to that. Eve initially stood her ground when a lie was presented to her. And when you know what God has said, you can feel good about going in that direction. You can go in confidence, with assurance, and without fear. You don't have to worry about repenting after doing what God says. And he will assist you to perform the word of life if you choose to let him. He that keepeth the commandments keepeth his own soul, but he that despises his ways shall die. Proverbs 19:16. You see, we made things harder for ourselves when we chose to disagree with God. Before there was 10 commandments, we had one: to refrain from this tree that was forbidden. This is how God can get the love back that he desires from us, by giving us a choice. Think about it. Out of all the multiple things, the trees, the Bible says in chapter 2 that they were a delight to the eyes, and it was good for food. An open buffet is what God gave us. And he said, live and let's enjoy this, but don't touch that. Don't touch that one thing. And the devil says, touch that. And Eve said, no, I'm not to touch that. God hath said, if you stay your ground with the truth, as later I will show you, Jesus standing his ground in Matthew chapter 4, when the same serpent comes and he tempts him, he stands his ground. And he tells the devil what was written, what is written. And he defeats the enemy, just as you and I both will be able to defeat the enemy in the same format, using the same power of his word. It is the most power element that we have in our possession, the pure word of God. And if you're not reading it, you are being deceived. If you are not consuming his word on a daily basis, you are being deceived. My second reason why we must know the truth is simple. Because someone is lying to us. With the intentions of destroying us. I'm going to say it again. Why must we know the truth? Because someone is lying to us with the intentions of destroying us. Think about it. How successful would the serpent have been if he came to Eve and said, you know what? I'm trying to kill you. And I know an effective way for me to do that is if you disobey God. Why don't you eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil? How successful would he have been? He wouldn't have been successful at all. So I want to give you two main ingredients to what the devil does when he lies to us. Please, 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 please get this deep down into your spirit. Two of the devil's main ingredients when he lies to us is this. He attempts to take away the realization of the consequences of the lies. He can't take away the consequences. They're not his to take away. But if he can get you to realize that there are no consequences, you'll be more inclined to do it. You understand that? Okay. Remember, surely you shall not die. So he's trying to remove the consequences. Okay? I'm going to give you some examples of modern day moving of the consequences. God had me to write down some ads that I see. Even months ago, he had me to write down different things that I would see in my travels. Billboards, subway trains, anywhere. He would just tell me, write that. Let me just tell you some of the things concerning alcohol. There's a can of beer, right? I'm riding the train. Can of beer posted. And this train, this beer ad is splattered all across that side of the train. So when you're sitting here, you have no choice. Unless you're reading a book, you're gonna see the ad and the words. Now, one of the things it said, one of the words it said was refreshing. I didn't have a problem too much with that, but I did have a little problem. The can was dripping and it was, you knew that it was nice and cold and maybe on a hot summer day, it might be a tad bit of refreshing. But here's where I had my problem. It said on another board concerning the same beer, it said, always worth it. And now that's where I have a big problem. Every year in this country, over 150,000 die of alcohol-related deaths. More money is spent on alcohol, the consumption of the, more money is spent on alcohol than any other product to get you to use it. Now you may say, how is it that all of these deaths can really be attributed to alcohol? 5% of all deaths from diseases of the circulatory system are attributed to alcohol. 15% of the deaths from diseases from the respiratory system are attributed to alcohol. 30% of the deaths from accidents caused by fire and flames attributed to alcohol. 30% of all accidents, drowning, are attributed to alcohol. 30% of all suicides. 40% of all deaths due to accidental falls. 45% of all deaths in automobile accidents. And 60% of all homicides are attributed to alcohol. So when you sit on the train and you see that it's always worth it, you say that's a lie. The truth of the matter is, it's never worth it. Another ad on another day from our city, New York Department of Health and Mental Hygiene, concerning sex, had a young couple holding each other with smiles of glee on their faces. And the words that was next to them said, "Get some!" NYC condoms. And it had a 311 number to call where they're handed out for free. On another day, the same ad. This time, two men smiling with looks of glee. The same words read, "Get some!" NYC condoms. The smiles portray good, taking away the consequences of evil. He's using the same tactics as he did in Genesis chapter 3. "Surely you shall not die. Get some." Get some what? Some STD? How many know that there's no plastic that can protect you from the wrath of God? How many know that? There was no indication of marriage. Nothing about marriage between this male and female image that was portrayed. Nothing about commitment. Nothing about love. What about lust? Get some. What about the ring? What about "I do"? Get some. No. No. Get Jesus. Even listen, the lie is intended to destroy you. Even if he makes you feel good in the process, he doesn't care, as long as the ultimate decision, the ultimate end is destruction. That's what he desires. Another ad on another day. There's so many, but this is my last one that I'm going to tell you. A picture of a young lady sitting down on the steps with a very despondent look on her face, like there was no hope. And like her world was caving in. And the letters on the side of her, big, bright, yellow letters, said, "Free abortions." I guess this comes from the "get some" that you placed in the other ads. You see, you need to get this into your spirit. The church doors are open. The Bible is made available to you and I because someone is lying to us. When you leave your apartment or your house, or when you turn on your television or your radio, you are being lied to constantly. You are being bombarded with lies. And if this truth isn't in your being, you won't even see it coming. It's not an option. Listen, it's not an option. Just like you eat food, you got to eat this. If it had not been the word of God and the revelation of God, how would we know what is true? Would my truth be the same as your truth? Is there one truth? Constantly lied to, constantly, and billboard. And the manufacturers and the companies, they don't know who's behind it all. Their only intentions is to make money, to make more sales. They're not out to destroy you, but it's the God of this world who works through those who are devoid also of the truth. Why must I know the truth? Somebody is lying to you. Abortion was never free. Murder is never free. Homosexuality is never free. Fornication is not what your body is made for. Your body was made for the Lord. Jesus' name. It was created by God that he might enjoy that body. And the devil is so trying to destroy that body. He's saying, use it this way, use it that way. Spray paint it, cut it, pierce it. Do anything but glorify God in it. And it's a lie. We were created to glorify God from the foot to the head and the hairs. Let it glorify God. You didn't put yourself here. I didn't put myself here. Give God the glory. Ishalamoro Sunday. Let's give God the glory. This is His. It's His body. It's His body. Every part of it is His. And if I got desires in me that don't feel right, I'm bringing that to God because I didn't put that there. You understand? We don't put these ugly, nasty desires that some of us have. Yes, we all have them. Yes, I'm not going to stand behind the pulpit, behind the word of God and tell you that there's not a war within us. Yes, there's a war. You give that war to God. And you don't see, you watch and see what He'll do with that. He knows about those desires. He knows you didn't put them there. That you bring all that stuff to the Lord Jesus and see if He doesn't have an answer for that. Amen. Why must I know the truth? My last reason. Why must I know the truth? And that is because the truth is all you need. The truth is all you need. You ever read Genesis chapter 3 and you're looking at the scene and you're noticing that the woman is being deceived? You ever said to yourself, where's God? Where's God right there and then before she makes any decision? Where's God? Or perhaps, where's an angel? Surely the angels were seeing what was going on. How come Gabriel didn't intervene? Why didn't Michael say something? Why did it seem like heaven was silent? Because the truth is all you need. Everything she had needed to defeat the devil, she had. And God made sure of it. God is attached to the truth. And so if you stand your ground with the truth, nothing can defeat you. Nothing can ever defeat you. So God, therefore, listen. God, therefore, can remain silent. Because He already spoke. Yes. He can remain silent. He knew He gave Adam everything that he could possibly need. So He could let the serpent say, go ahead. Go ahead and tempt them. Go ahead and try them. They have everything they need to overcome the evil one. The truth is all you need. There is power in His word. The Bible says His word is quick, alive, and active, more powerful than anything on the earth, than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. Through the prophet Jeremiah, he says this, is not my word like a fire, like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces. His word is all you need. That's why you must know the truth, because the truth is all you need. God is attached to His truth. The Bible says even in Psalms 138 that He has magnified His word even above His name. The truth is all you need. This is why the psalmist prayed, order my steps in Your word and let not sin have dominion over me. The truth is all you need to defeat the evil one. He goes through great lengths trying to get us to understand, to believe His lies. Let me tell you this. The devil needs you to defeat you. He needs your cooperation to defeat you. It is the equivalent of slipping something into your drink and telling you that what he just put in there is good for you. That's what he does with his lies. All lies give you the same results. Lies are destructive. Lies cause you to go into perversion. Lies is the absence of God put into speech and action. When we live in sin, what we're saying is we're living a lie. And those lies lead us ultimately into destruction. And the truth, on the other hand, frees your mind, frees your soul to live as you was intended to live. This is why Jesus tells his disciples and even those who didn't believe who were there. He says, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples and you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. And the disciples, some of them begin to say, some of the unbelieving Jews begin to say that, wait a minute, Abraham is our father and we have not been in bondage to anyone. And Jesus goes on to say, listen, He that commits sin is a servant to sin. He that commits, that word is a present continuous, meaning lives and actively involved in sin. He that is actively involved continuously in sin is a slave to sin. And there's only one thing that can free you from the powers of sin, and that is the power of the Word of God. There is no self-help program. There is no amount of money. There is no fame, there is no notoriety. There is nothing that can free you except the Word, the unadulterated Word of God. Amen. The second thing the devil does is I want to also say this, that he allows things to appear to be good. Remember those ads I talked to you about? There were many cases that there was something about it that seemed like it was good. So there were smiles on the faces of the men. There were smiles on the faces of the couples. There was something attractive about the can of beer. And alcohol is the number three killer in our country. Highest, the third highest killing substance in our country. But he allows them to appear to be good, and they're not good. And then the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2 that when God made what he made for mankind, the Bible says it was a delight even for the eyes to look at all the things that God made. And it was good for food. So how is it when you see the devil after tempting and deceiving Eve, how is it that she comes up with and the woman saw that the tree was good? How is it that she arrived at that conclusion? Because she didn't stand her ground. She didn't stay in the truth that was delivered to her. She pondered the evidence and the lies that was being presented to her by the serpent. And pondering upon a lie, tossing it to and fro into your mind, examining it instead of immediately rejecting it, will cause you to agree with it. The only thing you can do with a lie is reject it. Stay your grounds. Stand in your grounds and say that, wait a minute, that's a lie. And remember this, the lie is intended to kill you. The lie is intended to kill you, just as it did Adam and Eve in the book of Genesis chapter 3. And we have all been suffering ever since. In Genesis, in Matthew chapter 4, three times the Lord Jesus was tempted with the lies from the evil one. And three times he responds, it is written, it is written, it is written. Jesus prays to the Father in John chapter 17 concerning those who believed on him then. And concerning us who will believe on him now and those who will believe on him in the future, he says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. And this is what his intentions was, that we might be separated, that we might be holy, that we might be set apart from the rest of the world who chooses to live lies. There will be a remnant, a generation who will say, no, I want to be sanctified, God, by your truth. There's some in here tonight that's going to say, Lord, no more will I accept the lies of the evil one. Sanctify me tonight by thy truth. If God kept power in his word, it is for you and I to take advantage of that power. That we might grow, that we might learn, that we might become who God intended us to be. Sanctify them, Jesus says to the Father, by thy truth. Thy word is truth. And if you think for 1 minute I'm going to allow you to leave here with just the impression that you need to go and read your Bibles, yes, but there's something way more important you need to do before I send you off to go and read your Bible on a daily basis, and that is this. In us, we have a nature that is in constant conflict against God, a nature that wants to please itself, a nature that says, my will be done, not thy will be done. So this nature doesn't even want to agree with the Word of God. It doesn't want to read it, only if it can be pleased by it will it try and find a scripture to please the flesh. So therefore, there's something that has to be done with the flesh in order for you to really have the victory you need in the Word of God. And that is also in the Word of God. It says this. Jesus says this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, woman, boy, or girl can come unto the Father except by me. In the same passage of scripture, he says that the Father will not leave you comfortless. He said, I will send a comforter to you. Amen. And then he gives the name of this comforter and he calls it the Spirit of Truth. If God wants to put the Spirit of Truth in you and I, it is because we desperately need the Spirit of Truth to overcome the evilness within us. Our fight is not just against the devil. We walk with and carry around an enemy every single day. But if the Spirit of Truth abides in you, a new divine nature abides in you, you can shut up the spirit of the evil in you. You can shut up that warring nature, that conflicting nature that doesn't agree with God. You can silence it when it tries to rise above the Lord God because of the Spirit of Truth that is within you. Then you can begin to take the Word of God from the Bible, put it into your heart, let it come out of your mouth, and nothing shall defeat that servant. I don't care how deeply involved in drugs or in any kind of promiscuity or any kind of wicked lifestyle you can talk about right now. I don't care what it is. If you invite the Spirit of Truth in your heart today, you will overcome all adversity. All adversity from without and all the attacks from within. Because God's Word is potent enough to defeat everything, every devil, every demon, every power, warring nature within you. His Word is powerful enough. And the Spirit of His Word is all the power you need to defeat the evil one. Accept Christ today. And as he said, he will not leave you comfortless, but he will send the comforter to you. Even the Spirit of Truth that will be in you and will abide in you forever. And I am a result of one who has accepted the Spirit of Truth and clings to the truth and desires to live the truth. And when I fall and I stumble, the Spirit of Truth puts me back on my feet. You need the Spirit. You need the Spirit of Truth in you tonight. I beg you, and by the mercies of God, please do not leave this place when God is making himself available. Do not leave without the Spirit of Truth within your being. Hallelujah.
Tonight, for those that are here, I know that there's many, you're deeply stirred in your heart. And you may not understand it all, but you know that what you've heard is right. There's a witness in the heart. The Bible speaks of it. There's an inner witness that this is right. I remember the first time I heard the gospel, I was 24 years of age. I'd never been in a meeting like you are in tonight. And I didn't understand it all, but I knew it was right. There's something, because we are created in the image of God, and for the purposes of God, there is something in us that bears witness when we hear truth. And we know that what we've heard is right, and it conforms to what is right. And there's that pull of the Holy Spirit drawing us back to the place that we've fallen away from. A living relationship with a living God. That's why God became a man. That's why Christ died on a cross. That's why he suffered abuse and endured unspeakable punishment to pay the price for the wrong things that you and I have done so that we might return to God through Jesus Christ. That's the door. He said, I'm the door. And if any man comes in through me, through this door, he will come in and out, he'll find pasture. Actually, it means he'll find life. He'll find everything he's looking for. Everything you've sought for in this world, everything you've tried that has ultimately and ironically brought you here tonight. Because you've tried it all. And you know that there's nothing there. You know there's no hope there. There's no life there. And tonight, if you'll open your heart and say, Jesus, I need you as my Lord and my Savior. I need you, Lord, tonight to wash away the stain of wrong that's in my heart. I've done the very same things that Adam and Eve did. I've disobeyed God. I've lived a lifestyle that is not according to the Word of God, and it's brought into me all of the oppression. But it's not going to destroy me because God's mercy has reached out to me tonight. Praise be to God. And if it's in your heart to receive Christ as your Savior, as we stand tonight, I'm going to ask you to boldly step out of your seat and make your way to this altar. We'll pray a simple prayer with you, and if you mean it from your heart, the Bible says if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you believe that He died to pay the price for your sin and was raised again from the dead as living proof to you that God will be faithful to His Word, and if you confess Him with your mouth, you will be saved. Saved, the Bible says. Saved from the consequences of sin, saved from a life of sin, and saved from an eternity without God. You can't know what this is until you have gone through the door and tasted it for yourself. Blessed be God. If the Holy Spirit has borne witness with your heart tonight, here and in the annex, we're going to stand, we're going to worship just for a minute. As we stand, I want you to slip out of your seat, make your way to this altar, and we'll pray together. Let's do that now. Can we all stand? Balcony, main sanctuary. Just slip right out of where you are. Join this young couple that are coming this evening already and are already at this altar. Make your way here. We'll pray together, and we'll believe God to wash away the stain of sin and to give you a life that bears witness with truth. Praise God. For those that are gathered at this altar, I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer. Then after we pray this prayer, if you go downstairs in the lower rotunda, there are people there that will give you a Gospel of John, which is one of the books of the Bible that explains the life of Jesus Christ and helps you to understand the decision that you've made and gives you the truth that you've heard about tonight. You can begin to build that life. Give you information if you need information about what kind of a church you should be going to. We can help you with that. You'll not be asked to sign up or join anything. You don't have to worry about that. People are waiting there for you tonight. All of heaven is waiting to rejoice right now. The Bible says that there's joy among the angels of heaven over one person who comes back to God and turns away from their sin and comes back to Almighty God through Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. A simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I have lived a lie. I'm sorry for my sin. I don't want to live this way any longer. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me and paying the price for all the wrong things that I have done. Tonight, Lord Jesus, I open my heart to you. I invite you to come in, forgive my sin, and be the Lord and the Savior of my life. I give my life to you, Jesus. Take me, change me, and let your name be glorified through my life. Let your truth become my guide through the future and into heaven eventually. God Almighty, I thank you tonight for receiving me and for forgiving me. From this day forward, I belong to you. I will confess your name. I will trust you to change me and cause me to live in the truth. God, I believe that my sins are rolling away. They're not counted against me. I am a forgiven person. I have a new life in Christ. I have a reason to rejoice. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name. Now give Him praise. Give Him praise and thank Him. Let's rejoice for these that are coming into the kingdom of God. Let's give God thanks. Let's give Him glory. Praise God. Rejoice. Come on, everybody, rejoice.
Let's rejoice together tonight. Let's give God praise and give God glory.